While 2021 seems to be the summer of seltzers, we cannot forget an up-and-coming category, cannabis-infused beverages. Now, sales for cannabis-infused beverages rose from $67.8 million in 2019 to $95.2 million in 2020. They're starting to take off in the U.S., and today we speak with author and industry expert Jamie Evans about what trends and developments she sees are taking place in that space. Now, we'll also be discussing her newest cannabis-infused wine, Herbacé, and her latest book, Cannabis Drinks, Secrets to Crafting CBD and THC Beverages at Home. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and you're listening to Bottled in China. This is the podcast that dives into the delicious and fascinating world of food and beverage. We cover innovation, market trends, and culture with thought leaders from around the world. In today's podcast, we are speaking with Jamie Evans, a cannabis beverage expert and certified specialist of wine. Now, right when I say that, you're probably imagining if we could combine those two, that must be something delicious and fascinating. And guys, that's exactly what she did. She just launched Herbacé. And now Herbacé for us is just on the market. So you guys are getting the insider scoop straight from Jamie herself. And it's a really fascinating discussion. Generally, we're going to be talking about her newest book as well, The Cannabis Drink, Secrets to Crafting CBD and THC Beverages at Home. But we're also going to be discussing the cannabis infused beverage category, where people go wrong, where people are going right, and what's the future of that category. All right, before we jump into the podcast, don't forget to follow me at Bottled in China on Instagram, where you can connect with me directly, but also where you can see what's going on in the press, as well as just what are the newest podcasts that we're launching. If you love this podcast, share with a friend, show your support, and click 5 stars on iTunes to give us that extra notification that we're doing well. All right, guys, let's jump right into this podcast because I cannot wait to hear about this exciting product. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Bottled in China. I'm very excited to have a guest that we've had on before. And Jamie, it was already interesting, but I think now we're taking it to a new level of interesting. So thank you so much for joining us again on Bottled in China.
Well, thanks so much for having me back on the show, Emily. And hello again to all of your Bottled in China listeners.
Now, I'm actually quite excited because last time we spoke more about food and the marriage between cannabis. But today we're really going to dive in more into the drinks industry and catching up on what actually has been happening in the last year. So first off, I have to ask, since we last spoke a year ago, you know, what are some of the biggest breakthroughs in the cannabis industry for food and wine and drinks?
Absolutely. So I'm not just saying this because my book just came out on this topic, but cannabis drinks has really become one of the fastest growing categories in the cannabis space. So for those listeners who might not be so familiar with cannabis infused drinks, so these types of products are really classified as drinks that have been infused with CBD and THC and other phytocannabinoids that are out there. And so just over the past year, we've continued to see this category grow and grow. And it's just really amazing because what we're seeing with these drinks is, we're seeing seltzers, cannabis infused wines, cannabis infused coffees, and so on. So it's just been really fascinating to see all the new products coming out.
Well, actually, I remember even if I would say maybe I want to say 3-4 years ago, Constellation put in a lot of money into that research, I guess, or trying to develop drinks in the category using, as you mentioned, cannabis infusion. Now, having said that, you know, can you tell us a little bit about where everything's at for the industry? You just mentioned that there's a lot when it comes to seltzer. Are they selling well? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of products on the market, but can you tell us a little bit more about the trends that you're seeing? What's working? Is it wine? Is it beer? Is it the coffee that's working best? And in that space, you know, where are the markets and who's the consumer?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I think since the last time we spoke, the science of making infused beverages is just getting much, much better. So because of all these new innovative practices, we can now really create these homogeneous, shelf-stable products that's really quite pleasurable to consume, which really wasn't the case 5 years ago. And so, you know, cannabis drinks too, a trend that we're seeing is they're actually a really great alternative to alcohol. So there's these new low dose options that are available. So kind of like microdosing drinks. And these really offer a similar experience to drinking one glass of wine or beer, but without the hangover. So I think consumers are just really attracted to cannabis drinks for that very reason. But also I think people are just becoming more health conscious, you know, especially as we're coming out of the pandemic and, you know, cannabis drinks is just this new category that people are looking to explore. And because it is such a new category, there really isn't like one drink that's working best. I think, you know, we're certainly seeing a lot of sparkling beverages that have been selling quite well, but there's certainly so much more room to grow, which we'll see probably over the next year or so.
I mean, I have to ask this. Has COVID, has everybody being stuck inside at home helped the industry to move forward, or has held it back because people are not going out and meeting friends, so they'd rather just smoke than go drink? Like, has it actually helped us or not helped us?
That's a great question too. So I think when COVID happened last year, what was really important for the cannabis industry was it was claimed as an essential business. So many dispensaries and brands were able to continue to get their products out to different patients and people who really need cannabis on a daily basis. And so, yes, you know, like during the pandemic, we weren't able to gather together as friends and enjoy cannabis, but many people, you know, they enjoyed products at home. And this was kind of part of the inspiration for my new book, was really to provide consumers the education that they need to craft cannabis drinks at home. So that was just part of my inspiration, which I know we're going to talk about the book in a little bit, but.
No, I love that. And actually, I'm excited to talk about the book. But of course, before that, you're doing something that's also really exciting and innovative. You're actually, I don't know how you do it. I think during COVID, you've been like one of the most productive people I've like followed. And it's quite interesting because you're actually going to be creating a non-alcoholic cannabis infused wine. Now, you know, for everybody who has listened to Jamie's past episode with me, you were in the wine industry for quite a long time working with some of the biggest and best brands in the market. So this is really tying your two passions, but also your two expertise. Tell me about that and tell me a little bit about the flavors or why you're doing non-alcoholic in particular.
Perfect. Yeah. So as you mentioned, I come from a long history of working in the wine industry. So the opportunity to create a cannabis infused wine is just so incredibly fascinating. And something that people just have to know, first of all, is, you know, just like with any great wine, quality really begins in the vineyard. So when you're making a cannabis wine, you know, it's very similar to making a traditional wine at first. So we're sourcing grapes. The grapes go through fermentation, they go through aging. But then when it gets interesting is when the wine is ready to be bottled. And so because of the current laws that are in place, the wine does have to be de-alkalized. So the alcohol is removed because as the law stands, you cannot have cannabis and alcohol in the same product at this point. So by removing the alcohol, you're kind of opening the door for this type of product to be possible. And it's actually pretty amazing too, just to see the innovation that goes into de-alkalization. So I don't know if you've ever tasted, you know, a lot of the de-alkalized wines right now, but I really think this product is improving a lot and it actually tastes quite a lot like wine, which I'm happily discovering as I'm going through this process.
Now, of course, just, you know, talking about more of the, how you formulate this idea, this concept. For you, as a wine lover, have you actually looked at creating more of a wine that's easy to drink, simple? So something like Moscato style or you know, White Zinfandel, where it's really just fruity and easy? Or because you are such a big wine lover, are you actually going the route of serious wines? Like what can we expect from you?
Great. Well, the first things, you guys are hearing this here first. So I'm actually going to be releasing two sparkling wines to begin with. And the vision is to make these very approachable for the consumer, but also really deliver that wine-like experience as best as possible. So, you know, while the wine does go through de-alkalization, a lot of those natural essences of wines are removed from that process. But as a cannabis-infused winemaker, it's really my job to add in, you know, those natural flavors to really build the wine back together and create a beautiful product. And so what I like to say is, while it'll always be really difficult to provide that exact experience that we have when drinking a glass of wine, you know, these cannabis-infused wines are unique on their own. So you can really think of these as like a new style of beverage that we're just beginning to master.
And I have to ask you one extra question about this, because I know it's not 100% released first. I'm excited that we're talking about it. And I'd love to jump on Instagram Live and talk about it too, because I feel more people need to know about this. It's just something that our industry somehow is craving an innovation. And yet, I don't know if the big guys are actually doing it right. You know, I don't know if they're able to capture that market. And I think somehow you will be able to do that. And I'm really excited to see that flourish. But one of the things I have to ask is, obviously, cannabis infusion, there's going to have its own profile, its own taste, right? And how are you trying to mask that? Are you trying to mask it? I mean, of course, you're doing a sparkling, but have you seen that oak does really well with cannabis infusion and that taste profile? Or do you say steer out of oak, steer out of red wines? Let's focus really on just that, like you said, making it more playful so you mask it in a more enjoyable way. Like, how are you trying to make it taste good, I guess?
Yeah. So when you're making a cannabis infused wine, when you're adding the cannabinoids in, you're adding in something called the emulsion. And so depending on what type of emulsion you add, this kind of adds the cannabis flavors. And so I'm really trying to go for a more neutral emulsion, and so that the wine's characteristics really shine through. Because at the end of the day, I think, you know, those who are looking to drink a cannabis infused wine, you know, they're probably looking for that wine experience. So that's kind of like the route that I'm going for. But I also know that other producers use more cannabis flavor emulsions, which really come from like the terpene profile that they're using. But I think if you're going that route too, it's just really about identifying the flavors in the wine and trying to match those flavors with the terpene profile to really create something that will harmonize on the palate. But the trick about that too is, you know, if someone's not used to drinking terpene forward drinks, it can actually be very cannabis flavored. So it's really about finding that perfect balance. And so that's what I'm going for with my new line.
I'm super excited. Well, I definitely want to have more information on that so we can share that. You know, once again, I just feel being out here in China, we don't see this at all. So of course, I'm not saying that this is going to be available in China. And for anybody listening, of course, yeah, you know, here in China, it's really just, you have any product of that, you are going to be locked out. But I think it's something to look at for North American markets, European markets, as they open up with this idea too. And just the future of not just the next year, but the next 5, 10, 20 years. And it's going very quickly, because big companies do see that, you know, there's a market for it. And there's also, we need to innovate within the space, just given that wine has been, you know, a slight downturn in the last year. We're trying to find ways to continue to connect with consumers. And I think this is one of them. But I want to talk about something that's even, again, how busy you are, but exciting as well, is your new book. Wow. I was impressed with your last book, which actually covered more on the food and the different ways to do. I think you were doing shampoos as well, right? If I'm not wrong.
No, it was actually a lifestyle book. So in The Ultimate Guide to CBD, I covered everything from CBD, bath bombs, lotions, face masks, to food, cuisine, and beverages. So really, it was a full lifestyle guide that you can use. But yeah, my next book is all about drinks, which is really in my wheelhouse. So it was incredibly fun to write.
And this one, again, it's really combining your passion, drinks and cannabis. And I want to talk a little bit about that. So as part of your book, you guys are actually evaluating the flavors and aromas. And can you tell us a little bit about developing your herbal palate? We talked about that in the last episode, but I'd love to kind of discuss this once again for our listeners. So you can kind of share with us some of the processes when you are discussing flavors in cannabis, because that's just always interesting.
Yeah, especially it's interesting too when you have cannabis and wine side by side together, because I really think the two complement each other so well. But in the book, you know, I always like to say, just how we develop a palate for tasting wine, you could also develop a palate for cannabis. So, you know, cannabis is just very similar to grape varieties, because you know, they're all so unique. They have each of their own smells and tastes and profiles. So it's really fun to train your nose how to smell all these different aromas in your cannabis and then apply that to selecting strains and creating pairings. So this is what I really call your herbal palette, is when you can create that perfect pairing to create flavor matches. And so all throughout my book, I do talk about terpene profiles. And for those of you who are listening, terpenes are the organic compounds that give cannabis all of those wonderful aromas and flavors that you perceive when you're smelling through the strains. But terpenes are also found in wines and different ingredients in your food and so on. So it really makes this pairing concept viable. And so when you train your nose to smell these terpenes in your cannabis, it really opens the door to thinking about cannabis more from a culinary perspective and really identifying it as a gourmet ingredient.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you give us a little bit of tips from your book, which is your favorite pairing? And I have to actually ask a separate question that just came, you know, popped in my head, is actually, I think that I was being told back home that there's so many different strains right now and different growers that have their own terroir. And so different strains, or I guess areas, might have different flavor profiles, just like wine. And I'm sure every single month we're discovering new producers who are doing really great quality stuff. What is the top region, I guess, that would be comparable to the US, like Napa Valley? That is like the top of the top. If you were to say you have to get that quality to go with a high quality wine, what would that be?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. So I would definitely say Humboldt or anywhere in the Emerald Triangle is really where you're going to find the best cannabis in the entire world. And so I've been very lucky to work with many growers who are growing sun-grown flower up in the Emerald Triangle, which when something is sun-grown too, it just really makes a difference for the cannabis. And it really has all of these unique aspects to it, just like you'd see in the grapevine. So cannabis really takes on the sense of place and practice. And really, it takes on that terroir, which is so interesting too. So yeah, look for Emerald Triangle. Humboldt cannabis is just the best.
And I have to just ask again, I mean, do you think that wherever it grows, you should also pair that with the wine? So for example, Santa Barbara cannabis with with wine from Santa Barbara. Would you do that, or Oregon or Washington? Like, is that something that goes just as if we think of, you know, great food?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've done regional pairings before. So I live in Marin County, but up in Sonoma County, which is just right above us, you can find really great cannabis, really great wines. And it's actually really fun to do the same vintage of wine and cannabis together and see if you can pick out any of the nuances of that specific growing year. And I've actually done this quite a few times at my events out here in California, before COVID, of course. And so it's so much fun to do regional pairings and cannabis too. You can also compare different vintages of cannabis. So, you know, cannabis grown in 2016, compared to the same strain grown in 2018, and just try to pick out the differences. And there are a few growers that I know that actually have flights of their vintages too. So it's fairly similar to the wine world.
That's really interesting. I mean, I'm also just learning all about this. I find that to be really fascinating because it is always about your senses, right? And wine, that's what wine is. It brings together all your senses from taste and aromas. And I love that side of the wine industry. I have to ask, again, from your book, what is your go-to pairing that you've discovered that shocked you, you never thought would go together, and somehow they just married together so well?
This is a fun question. So when I was writing this book, I did discover that cannabis just has this ability to pair well with so many different types of flavors. So everything from bright citrus to smoky mezcal, which was one of my favorites, to even like spicy chai tea. You know, it really depends on what strain you're working with, but you know, there's just so many unique flavor pairings. So one of my favorite recipes in the book is a spicy melon margarita. And so this is made with fresh watermelon juice, lime juice, cannabis-infused rich simple syrup. There's tequila, mezcal, like I was saying earlier, And then there's actually some jalapeno chili peppers in it as well. And then just dash of Aperol. So you're really kind of getting these, you know, four out of the five basic taste categories. You're getting salty, sweet, sour, and bitter all together, making it very complex. And then you're adding the cannabis flavors in there as well. So just having like discover like those types of flavor combinations was really, really fascinating, especially when you're making the infusions yourself. So in the book, I teach you how to make cannabis infused simple syrup using flour of your choice. And then from there, you can really pick, you know, the terpene profile and decide what you know, if you want to make a cannabis infused simple syrup or a bitters or shrubs, you can really learn it all in the book. So it was very fun.
Oh, that's fascinating. You know, I feel your book also would be perfect for any like bartender that wants to really explore and not go through creating horrible drinks for the first quarter. You know, being able to really understand and wrap their head around what works and doesn't work in their cocktails. I love that. That is so interesting to do. And, you know, do you see that? Do you see more and more bartenders and mixologists dive into that side of it and offer it? Because first of all, I'm sure you can actually put your drink slightly higher, so you actually could make more money on these drinks. Do you see that happening?
I think that mixologists and bartenders really do have an interest in cannabis drinks. Like, unfortunately, because of the laws here in the United States, we can't serve, you know, freshly prepared cocktails, cannabis cocktails at this point, which is really, you know, it's very unfortunate. And even like with CBD cocktails too, they actually took those off bar lists several years ago out here in California, just because the FDA didn't really know how to handle, you know, thinking about these live infusions. And so I think there is a huge interest. People are very curious as well, but we just need the regulations to catch up.
That's really fascinating. And I guess my last question for you is, of course, some of the misconceptions actually when it comes to cannabis infused drinks. I think there's still a big stigma around it. Do you see that shifting? And what are some things that we, you know, you just try to tell people and it just does not go through their head?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest misconceptions is people think that it's really difficult to make a cannabis drink. And it's actually quite the opposite. And so, you know, I think they're very easy to make as long as you know the techniques to crafting the beverages. And, you know, whether you're a beginner or you're a pro, there's several different methods that you can take to really craft the perfect drinks, depending on your comfort level, of course. And so, you know, this is why I felt it was so important to write this book, because I want to educate and empower my readers and consumers so they really have all the information and tools that they need to make their own cannabis drinks at home.
I love that. Well, listen, Jamie, you obviously are inspiring people to do that. It's been such a great conversation. Once again, for anybody who's actually missed it, you have to go check out our first conversation about a year ago where we actually spoke with Jamie about a broader sense of what you could do with cannabis, you know, with food and wine. But I want to thank you so much for joining us in this one. And I can't wait to taste your new drink coming up, to read your books, because I'm finally going to be heading back to North America. And I'm looking forward to actually learning more about that, because it's just such a fascinating side of the business. And I really think it's, you know, it's part of the future that we need to adapt to, but we also need to be excited about, because innovation doesn't always happen in the wine industry. And here it is, and we need to take it and learn all about it. So thank you so much. And of course, how can we get in touch with you, follow you on Instagram, and also get your books?
Yeah. So if everyone heads to theherbsomm.com, you can find more information about my books, my blog, and also you can find me at The Herb Somm on social media. So Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram is all at The Herb Somm. And please be sure to keep an eye out for my new drink coming soon. And I really hope we're able to share a glass when you're out here next, Emily.
Sounds amazing. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to put the information in the show notes so you can go right ahead and click on that and connect with Jamie. So Jamie, thank you so much, and cheers.
Cheers.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you love this podcast, make sure to share it with a friend or click 5 stars on iTunes to show your support.